Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
Sofa King. No, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King.
Retard. You say funny things.
So I just want to apologize.
It's a good idea.
I was going to start out like that. just want to apologize.
Yeah.
For today's show.
We're sorry.
I've been in court all last week and today defending baby punchers' rights all over America.
It's an important thing, though.
Right. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, it's something I stand for, so I have to fight for it. I feel like, you know, Martin Luther King did his job.
We don't want his death to be in vain.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I have to, you know, for all the people fighting for something all over the world, whatever you're fighting for, whether it be male pattern baldness, whether it be, you know, I don't even know, just
erectile dysfunction.
Yeah. Erectile dysfunction. Yeah. ED. That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. You know, to those fighting all over the world, this one's for you.
Which one?
This one, this show.
This show.
Yeah. So we have a Nut Swagular bag winner. I changed the name of it.
It's the Nut Swagular bag. So
I stepped down for 2 seconds and this happens. Yeah.
So Brent, who is
sick,
peeing out his butthole.
I've had the flu for like 3 days. Yeah. I've been in bed since Friday and it's Monday. And it's a blur. I don't remember most of any of it.
So not much has changed.
Yeah. I was on a water fast. Now I'm on just a watery restroom.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I caught that shit, but
right before the podcast, he's just been laying upstairs, propping himself up on empty cardboard boxes.
Yeah, snuggling power.
Yeah. And you know what? What impressed me was the automatic masturbation was still happening during this moment. So,
I'm wearing like workout shorts, so made
very,
obvious.
Very impressive.
Doesn't stop.
Yeah, and that really shows you it's automatic. He doesn't think about it; it just happens.
It's like breathing. Yeah. Right.
But so, he did post on Cinco de Mayo, the world's worst holiday. He did post. Sorry, he Why? Did post.
Why is it the worst holiday?
No, we'll get, no, we're we'll going to get into this liberal.
Okay. We'll post on.
I know
we'll
why.
Get there.
I know why.
No, it's got nothing to do with being liberal.
Oh, okay.
Geographical. But
I just wanted to say that. I didn't even mean anything.
He lives by a Mexican restaurant.
Brent,
that's what's wrong.
We're going to get into this black. Brent, like.
Brent posted on Cinco de Mayo a hidden test post that just was a Cinco de Mayo thank you post. And one person posted a picture of his own tacos with his taco. And that was Sean Edwards. So Sean Edwards, you're the winner of the, what is it now?
The Nut Swagular bag.
Yeah.
You're getting
presented by
Swagular bag.
El Yucateco.
I hope you don't live in Scotland.
So if you live in anywhere other than the domestic US,
you'll be getting a travel size.
You didn't win. We forgot that this happened.
I'll fork over $30 and I'll send you the stuff in. Anyway.
You'll send it. Fork over.
Yeah, we will.
I like how did you hear that? I think we got a problem. I'll fork over $30.
Well, what if he's going to fork it over?
Yeah.
Well, that's fine if you do it on your own.
Yeah, I said what I said.
Okay.
It's a little quiet.
So Cinco de Mayo, I live right across the street from a very popular Mexican restaurant, and it borders my neighborhood. So like their Cinco de Mayo festivities, and they're better now than they used to be, but they were these legendary festivities where the music would boom until like 3 a.m. and our entire neighborhood would be filled with parking for the restaurant. And, you know, I'm just like crotchety old man, like, damn kids, get off my lawn, turn your music down. But I mean,
crotch the old man. That's a thing.
Crotchety.
Yeah.
Crotchety old man.
You're a crotchety old man. Mad about your neighbor's doorknobs.
But the music, I mean, the restaurant is probably 300 yards from my house.
What you're saying is you live at the restaurant.
I live at the restaurant. The music that they play is louder than my television is if I'm trying to comfortably listen to television in my living room.
So you're saying the music's too loud.
Too fucking loud. So I hate it. So, but every single, like, 1 year on Cinco de Mayo, a friend of ours came by named Chris Truitt, and it was the Cinco de Mayo madness. And at the end of my block, there were like 10 dudes like circling a dude, like just fixing to whoop his ass,
pretending to be a dude, like, circling a dude.
This dude was about to get a Cinco de Mayo ass whooping, the likes of which we've never known. And Chris Truitt, because he's very noble and is a bum fighter, said, "We need to go help that guy." I was like, you need.
He is a professional bum fighter.
You're insane. Yeah. Like, I said, here's how we helped a guy. You call 911 and I'll be right back. And then he called 911 and I went in and loaded two guns and came out into the front lawn and stood there nowhere closer to the 10 dudes circling a guy. And then the cops pulled up and I'm like, you walk over there, you're going to get. Anyway, so that's Cinco de Mayo. I have a nice neighborhood, no problems normally. And every Cinco de Mayo, I park my car. I don't really park on the street. On Cinco de Mayo, I park my car. We have like a one car driveway, but I squeeze both cars in the driveway because I don't want my car on the street for some drunk to fuck with it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So planning on doing that this year, as I do every single year.
And what happened?
On fucking Cuatro de Mayo, somebody ran into my fucking car while it was parked in the middle of the night and wrecked it. It's nice. Undrivable. So I'm still waiting for my insurance information. It's sitting at a body shop. Yeah. So Cinco de Mayo fucking snuck up on me. It was like, oh.
Caught you early?
Hey, I see you had your car on fucking Cinco de Mayo. Hey. And then.
We are racist.
Right up there. He fucked me. Then again, it might have been. It was the middle of the night. It could have been Cinco de Mayo. Like 12:01, it was Cinco de Mayo. Like, yeah, I might have got fucked on Cinco de Mayo.
2 a.m.
Exactly.
Yeah. It probably was.
Oh, it probably was. Yeah.
Dose in the morning.
Yeah. Dose.
Yeah.
Or Cuatro's in
so
the morning.
So I hate Cinco de Mayo. And my car does too.
White people like Cinco de Mayo more than Mexicans, I think. Mm-hmm.
Drinking more than they like Mexicans.
I didn't even know
Mexicans like Cinco de Mayo.
No, white people like Cinco de Mayo definitely more than they like Mexicans. I can confirm that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't even know it was Cinco de Mayo. Honestly, I didn't know. It passed me.
Fucking Vegas.
No, I wasn't yet. It was Friday. I left Saturday morning for a tournament. In which, by the way, 8 people competed from our club, and we have 11 medals. So good job,
good
those
for 8 people. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, some of them double medaled, so yeah.
You get all 11 of them?
Well, they would have been mine if I was in their division, but yeah.
You didn't compete.
Yep.
You just went and watched.
Yeah, I was there for a wedding.
You should just go person by person and like take all of their medals.
I could do that.
Whoop their ass.
I could do that. I told one of the guys at dinner, I said, you're just wearing those medals for me. They're mine. And he goes, I know.
So, I mean, the fuck up thing is there's some dojos that do that. There are some dojos that, like, if you win a trophy or a medal, the trophy
you can
and
fight,
medal,
you can
it,
fight
it belongs to the dojo, to you.
Yeah. So, and we got, there was a bunch of teams there and we got 4th overall. So yeah, it was a good tournament. Yeah. Nice. Good showing.
Nice.
So, and it was an out of state tournament. So,
Sean Edwards, congratulations.
You win unless you're in Canada, Irish,
someplace,
Englando, Australia, any of those places,
Englando,
New England, Kalamazoo,
now that's in Michigan.
Yeah, if you're anywhere out of California, you don't get the nut swag bag, whatever it is.
Dave's car got smashed. Brad was in court all week and had to be out of town and drive 7 hours, and I have the flu, so expectations are high.
Yeah.
So, and we apologized right off the bat.
I did. Yeah. I made the apology.
You did. First thing you said.
I'm straight up.
First thing you said.
Straight up with everybody.
And I'm drinking far more whiskey than I ever drink.
That's a good plan.
I'm drinking far less. This is going to be weird. I tried to drink it and I couldn't. I did, but.
So I'll start off. You know, we're going to be talking about the Hell's Angels.
Yes.
And I just want to note, as this goes down, this is a veteran-owned organization. It was started by veterans.
It was?
Yeah.
So, it was.
Yeah, I just want to put that out there. So, you know.
It is a veteran-owned organization. Yeah. Or at least it was originally.
Was, yeah. At I'm sure this
time. I made the cover art, and I did not use the logo or insignia in any way.
No, nor will I.
They sued Disney.
Who did?
Hell's Angels.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to do
that. Sued Disney for that.
You don't want to use
that goofy Tim Allen movie, Road Hogs, really? Or whatever it was. And they had to remove all of the Hell's Angels logos from the movie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You do not want to show their shit.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, it is theirs.
So the Hell's Angels, big motorcycle club, and it's one of the things that I was talking to Brent about right before the show. One of the things that blows my mind about Hell's Angels is that granted, they call themselves a motorcycle club, but every single branch of police or intelligence in the United States, if not the world, looks at them as a gang.
Right.
They don't look at them as they look at them as a street gang.
And that's with all motorcycle clubs, not just the Hell's Angels.
Well, it's not
even the Christian ones. They're gangs. I would assume they're gangs.
But I think they specifically target the one percenters.
Well, I mean, why one percenters? They're called one percenters because there's reasons for that.
Right.
You know?
So one, like the Hell's Angels and a handful of others call themselves one percenters because they acknowledge 1% of all motorcycle gangs are illegal and the other 99% are completely legitimate.
Yeah.
So if you happen to
disagree,
see,
I would disagree.
Well, either way, if you see a guy in whatever, you know, Hell's Angels or one of the other groups, and he has the one percenter patch on his vest, odds are you don't want to fuck with that guy.
Yeah.
Because that guy is claiming publicly, I'm the one who's going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Like that's the one percenter patch. And we'll talk about the
patches. They're giving kids bikes, one or the other.
Yeah.
And they do that.
Yeah.
And they give money to the American Red Cross.
Yeah,
they do. But again, so does the mob. So does it is what it is. So, but the thing that's interesting though is like, I don't know if it's because they're not as deep as something like the Italian mob or some other group, but it's like you hear about other crime organizations and you hear about the top guys in the organization being hounded by the FBI, getting arrested, getting, you know, turning rat and doing all this stuff. But like something like the Hell's Angels, you just never know their names. You never hear the names of key people. You know, I don't know if it's just because it's better distributed, if they hide it better, if they don't do as much fucked up shit. But it's interesting to me that people that consider them on par with the Italian mafia, but we don't ever hear in a big way about the crimes that they've committed. You know what I mean?
And their structure is like, there is a hierarchy. It's very like militant. There's a president, a vice president. So you would think those names would come out, but it must just be the way they conduct themselves.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they're constantly under watch.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get away with, you know, doing things. I think they look like really nice gentlemen. They're probably
handsome,
very respectful. They're definitely handsome. I'd like to point out that we have a local chapter about five blocks away from here.
We do.
So yeah,
we do. So
nice
the Hell's
guys.
Angels,
great guys.
Yeah.
The major MCs, I don't mean microphone controllers. I mean, motorcycle clubs, the major MCs, in the United
MC,
States,
not E-M-C-E.
Right.
Okay.
Are Hell's Angels, which I was surprised to find out is the second largest in the U.S. with an estimated 2,500 members. The Pagans, who used to be apparently a lot bigger, but now they have 250 members. These numbers were from like 2014. The Outlaws, which had 1,700 members. The Mongols have 1,500 members. The Bandidos have 2,500 members. And one I've never even heard of, the Vagos, have 4,000 members. And apparently they're the ones that are tied directly to the Mexican drug cartels.
Now, do these include the subclubs too?
Like, this is just the clubs themselves.
Yeah, so they have like sister clubs too. So, you know, they can get – I didn't know this. They basically, there's only so many, they only allow so many people or so many, you know, per chapter, only so many people are allowed in the chapter. So like if you have a chapter out of wherever and they have, you know, their hierarchy of people, that's it.
Right.
They don't allow.
I don't know what the number is, but let's say it's 20 people.
Yeah.
If there's a 21st person that wants to get in,
they have to go to the sister chapter if there is one.
Right.
And but other than that, I didn't know that. I thought that was you know, it's kind of weird to me. I don't know. I was like, do they
There's some way that they can take a sister chapter and fully patch all of them to make this, like, if they weren't called the Hell's Angels, they were called something else. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to make the whole chapter become Hell's Angels. But then there's also ways that, like, one individual would leave to go recruit people mm-hmm. and start a new chapter in a city. And I think maybe that's why they have more success than the mob, because it's all 20 dudes from the same town.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I think that's easier to keep a lid on and to be really paranoid about and to do all that stuff. It's like, it's a smaller group per town and they deal with the other people in the other towns.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's just easier to keep.
I thought it was kind of interesting. I mean, they have such strong convictions over certain things. And I was reading, they have what's called rockers. So like the top thing that says Hell's Angels on the back of their jacket's a rocker, but they have a bottom rocker that denotes their location. So it'll say California. And they won't let any other club, unless they have permission from Hell's Angels, have a bottom California rocker.
Right.
And they said more people have like been killed and more battles have gone down
over a rocker.
Over the bottom rocker.
Yeah.
Over saying you can't wear California specifically rocker. Because I think they're from Ventura, or they started in
Fremont.
Fontana.
Yeah. What's Hollister or something though? Because it started from ex fighter pilots.
Yeah.
Is what it was, which is really cool.
So let's go back to the start of it. So they've been around since 1948. The original chapter was founded by one family, the Bishop family, on March 17th, 1948 in Fontana, California. And it was a group of guys, like, this is just, you know, a year or two after World War II has ended. And you end up with a group of guys who are ex-fighter pilots mostly. And
it's interesting. It's like adrenaline junkies, though, because like you're not going to get to do that again. What do you do? Go dust crops and still not quite get it. So they found out they could do it on motorcycles.
Right. So you read a lot of different things. Like, one thing is adrenaline junkies. So they're getting on hogs and they're driving as fast as they can in a group. And that's giving them the rush that they used to get in, you know, in a P-17 Mustang or something.
There's not even really roller coasters at that point.
No. The other suggestion that some people make is that it was more of a just the brotherhood,
right?
Like, the war is over, no one knows what I went through as a fighter pilot, but all these guys, even though I don't necessarily know them, we share this brotherhood because we both did this same shit. I might have been over Japan, you were over Italy, I was over Germany, but right now we all know what that was like, and we're on these motorcycles together. And one thing even said that it might have been a way for a lot of them to deal with PTSD, because they were hanging out with people who went through the same experiences and so forth. So for many reasons, there was a bond in 1948, and for quite a long time, it was only California, right? And it was a group, it was an offshoot. There was an old motorcycle club called the Pissed Off Bastards in Bloomington. And a lot of members from the Pissed Off Bastards came over and so forth, and they formed the first Hell's Angels.
Was Hell's Angels the name of Howard Hughes' film?
Yeah,
it was. Was that first derived from the title of the film, or was that actually that? I know that there were planes and stuff that said Hell's Angels during the war.
1930 was when the Howard Hughes film was made.
So. From what I read, it was a nickname that a lot of fighter pilots had. They just called them Hell's Angels.
I don't know
if
it came from Howard Hughes' film, though.
The Hell's Angels was a typical naming of American squadrons and other fighting groups. It did like fierce, death-defying, they had fierce and death-defying titles in World War I and II.
Right,
so probably that was probably a common
term
back then.
It's like calling a marine a leather neck or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's just
leather face.
A term.
Yeah. That's what he called Marines.
That's out there. But then one of their, and a guy named Arvid Olsen, who was one of the original founders, served in the Flying Tigers, which was a World War II fighter pilot group. And he's the one who said we should call ourselves the Hell's Angels. And that name ended up sticking.
I bet Flying Tigers is a kung fu movie, too.
I'm almost certain. Yeah. Positive.
I'm looking it up.
And then early on, a vet who was also in the club, a guy named Otto Friedli, is credited for coming off with the logo.
Isn't Otto Friedli the Otto from that was actually involved in making the Sons of Anarchy series? Like, because the main guy was Otto, and he was actually a biker, and actually like starred in that series.
No, I know that guy was, Otto? I don't think that's the same guy. Because I know exactly who you're talking about, but his name was Otto in the show, but his name isn't Otto.
Oh, that's right.
You mean, are you talking about Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy.
Okay. I didn't know you were talking about that.
Right, yeah.
There is a Flying Tigers Kung Fu team and a Broadway Kung Fu kickboxing show, apparently.
Wow.
Side note, yeah.
Oh, I was going to keep going because okay. I was reading this. No, I was looking up the Otto thing to find out. It says, keep going.
So what I read was that early on, one of the requirements was you had to be from California, and that was where the motorcycle club was centered. And this is why even today, like even if you're I'm not sure, but does that mean every Hell's Angels jacket says California?
No. It would be your state.
No, they had Australia. They have.
Okay. But if you were... If you were
no, if you were a, if you were a Mon- if you were an if you were a Mongol, well, if you were a Mongol, right. Yeah, or an outlaw, and you had California on the bottom, then that's the issue,
right? And here's the thing.
Like turf, we're gonna
talk about these patches and rockers because they're pretty fucking important. Because you might be some dude who's in like that stupid fucking what's the name of the Hogs movie.
Roadhogs.
Like, you know, there's plenty of guys who like me and all my friends bought motorcycles and we're going to kind of like make a little motorcycle club and get a jacket and whatever. Yeah. I'm going to wear a vest. And if you put the wrong shit on your vest, you're going to get fucked up.
Well, and for example, here in our town, wearing a 3-piece patch on the back is illegal. It's actually against the law to have a 3-piece patch on. It's considered gang insignia.
Right.
The one percenters.
So with the top rocker, the bottom rocker,
top rocker, bottom rocker, middle logo. But the one percenters here in town don't give a fuck and the cops don't fuck with them.
Right.
Like that's just how it works.
Right.
Kind of crazy, you know, like that it's became that way.
Right.
That's just what it is.
Yeah. One of the requirements early on was that you had to ride 20,000 miles a year on your motorcycle. Like, so you had to be on the road like quite a bit on the bike. And they started to get popularized in like a very positive way, like through all of like, you know, Marlon Brando films and like, you know, The Wild One, all these things showing like motorcycle clubs in the '50s and how cool you are and you're anti-establishment. And like this whole thing is going on starting through the '50s. And even, Hunter S. Thompson, the gonzo journalist, spent a year with them in Northern California and wrote all about it. So like a lot of these things in the '50s and sixties popularized it, and maybe they weren't quite as criminal an organization yet, or maybe they were just being popularized, but in the '50s and sixties, they were just like, they were the cool guys to be. Right. And let's be honest, they still fucking are.
Right.
Like you see a guy, like you'll see a dude on a Harley and he's got some lame fucking vest on with some bullshit patches. I'm like, give me a break.
Or the guy riding with the Sons of Anarchy vest on, you know,
but every so often I'll see like a legit dude pull up with that fucking Hell's Angels patch on. And I'm like, oh God damn.
Yeah.
That's a motherfucker right there.
Yeah.
Like it's just, there's no getting around it. Like you wear it.
I wonder what real bikers do if they see a guy with the Sons of Anarchy, like, cause you can buy those.
It's a joke. There's a Facebook group,
that actually
like just regular motorcyclists.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a running joke. Oh. Like they have pictures of people at Walmart, you know, with the shirts and guys with vests, like legit leather vests with the Sons of Anarchy stuff on them, you know, like, and people are making fun of them.
But I've talked to a couple of guys I know who are cops have said that they've heard of or been on cases where people got their bikes fucked up and like were hospitalized and got their asses whooped because they put a fucking California patch on or because they had no gang affiliation. They didn't do it. They didn't fucking step up and fucking lip off to somebody. You were just wearing the wrong shit and they didn't know.
Yeah.
And they just fucking got seen by the wrong guy. And
yeah, you're wearing red in the Crip territory.
That's it. Like, it's all that matters. Yeah. Like, I mean, so if you do have a Harley and you have a leather vest and plan to sew a bunch of fucking shit on it, look it up first. Yeah. Like, don't just go to Pinterest.
Yeah, don't put like shit. Fucking dead bronies on the top and have a picture of your fucking brony and then California underneath.
Because you're going to get your ass fucked.
Yeah.
The California
bronies. I have, I mean, I have friends who are bikers, and I always joke with them that I was going to start a scooter club. So it was going to be an SC instead of a, you know, an MC, and then we were just going to be badass motherfuckers on scooters. You know, everybody riding around ruckuses. And,
I like that.
Yeah, and they're like,
I'm down.
Yeah, like, but they're like, don't
do steroids.
But it has to be serious. Yeah, either has to be serious, and we're ready to kill people. Yeah. You know, because it's gonna be no joke. Like, we're gonna get on the scooters, and we're patched up.
I say we have super soakers on the side instead.
Just don't. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want to deal with that though, because we're gonna get into gang fights. I mean, because anybody that has an MC patch on their thing, we have to fight them.
So
the Lord's bikers, we gotta fight them.
All of them. You got an MC on your patch, you're the enemy.
Yeah. No, we only fight SCs.
We're on the SC.
Yeah, you only fight SCs.
Well, no, we just, if you have an SC and we didn't say you could have it, then that's problem.
Then we
too.
Fight them. Yeah. I think we're onto something. Yeah. We need to do something other than a vest, though.
We got
to
find a hell of a scooter for Dave.
I just want like a jean vest.
A lot of them wear jean vests.
Dave just has to drive a grocery store.
I saw a huge picture of the Pagans, and most of them were in jeans.
I have to do something cool. Yeah, it can't be. Yeah.
The vest itself doesn't matter, to be perfectly honest. What matters is the patches.
Yeah.
Your vest can get fucked up. You can change your vest a thousand times as long, but the patches that you're sewing on the vest are the things that, that matter.
I say we make like a Mad Max apocalyptic, go-karts, though. So everything's on micro scale.
Little.
Yeah, like, they're little, but with fucking blades and shit fast, coming out of them all fucking murdered out.
Fuck you up.
Yeah.
I'd say we all dress like people from Mario Kart.
That'd work too.
And then we put our patches on the back of my Yoshi outfit.
Patches of Hooligan.
Yeah.
A Hoolahan. What's his name? From Dodgeball.
I like the Mad Max better.
It doesn't really matter. We can talk about this in our meeting.
That's true. We'll have it at our first
meeting. At our round table.
Yeah. So one of the things that sort of turned the tables popularly, for the Hells Angels, put them on the map a little bit more and gave them a bad reputation, was at California's Altamont Speedway in 1969, Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones held the Altamont Free Concert. So Rolling Stones, 1969, top of their fucking game, and they're doing a free concert at this speedway. And it was kind of in Hell's Angels territory. They were like, Hell's Angels, why don't you guys do security?
Sounds legit. That seems like a great idea.
Sounds like a great idea.
We'll pay you in beer.
They paid them in beer. They paid them in $500 worth of beer to run security for the concert.
I don't know what went wrong. I don't understand how that went wrong.
So, well,
how could this
drunk biker
bad?
Security? No,
how could this have gone bad?
So apparently,
you just wear a shirt with California.
Did they arm them with pull cues and like cue balls and socks?
A couple of things went wrong. Like there was, I read one thing that a spectator pulled a gun and he was stabbed to death.
Yeah.
By Hell's Angels. But then I also heard another tale that there was a woman who was stabbed to death by the Hell's Angels. And it was all ruled as self-defense. Nothing ended up getting pressed on the Hell's Angels. And the reason that we know a lot about it, and I can't remember the name of the documentary, but there was a documentary that came out in 1970 because they were filming a documentary of the Rolling Stones putting on this free concert. So this entire thing... Maybe it was called Gimme Shelter. It was Gimme Shelter.
I think I watched a lot of it, but I fell asleep on nausea meds. Willie Nelson was featured a lot in there, though. I woke up every time Willie Nelson played.
So Gimme Shelter, and the guy, one of the few names you'll run into is Sonny Barger, who was one of the, like at that time, he was kind of the spokesperson for the Hells Angels. He was like one of the big guys.
He was the guy that started the chapter in San Francisco originally. Right.
Yeah. And I think, again, that might be another reason why you don't get that mob thing going on, is it's like Sonny Barger, however powerful or however corrupt or however good or however what he was just in charge of San Francisco.
Yeah.
And it's not like there was a Don that runs the Hell's Angels. Yeah. Like every single chapter has its own politics, its own leader, its own everything. And I
and
think
they vote,
keeps it.
You know, they vote on that stuff. So yeah, there's democracy.
So to clear up the Sons of Anarchy thing, the creator, Kurt Sutter, he consulted regularly with the Hell's Angels to make sure that the show was as authentic as it could be.
Right.
He would talk to Rusty Coons, which was kind of the head of a chapter.
I know the guy that played Otto was actually like a real deal, like biker.
The guy that played Otto is the guy who created the show.
Okay.
I'm on so he's Kurt Sutter.
Yeah.
So, but it says he consulted regularly with the Hells Angels, probably, you know.
And he's sure married to Katie Sagal.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So he taught Anderson Silva that kick? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
He taught Steven Seagal the kick that Steven Seagal taught Anderson Silva?
Katie Seagal.
Oh. Oh, he's not married to Steven Seagal?
He's married to Katie Seagal.
I'm less impressed.
Yeah. The mother, Jax's mother in the Sons of Anarchy.
Katie
Bundy is what Peggy you meant.
Bundy. Yeah, I didn't know who you're talking about. Katie Seagal.
Right. Right. But yeah, so if you want to watch it, so allegedly, and I read reports, yes, this happened, no, this didn't happen, but allegedly at the end of all this stuff, Mick Jagger, this part isn't allegedly, Mick Jagger went on, you know, several talk shows and interviews with the press and basically called out the Hells Angels as being thugs and hooligans and they went too far and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, Kurt Sutter was never a biker. I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
I
looked that up. But the rumors are that because of it, the Hells Angels actually put a hit out on Mick Jagger and actually wanted him dead.
Yeah, because he stood and like spoke against them at that concert that shit was going down. Like that's bold, you know. But I don't know how he apparently got away. I mean, you're Mick Jagger.
Probably paid him off.
Yeah. Maybe. What I would try.
Money.
He's an alien. He's definitely like a reptilian.
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely.
He pulled his head off. Yeah. He's like.
Have you seen him dance? That's a lizard dance.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Like when they're just moving in the sun.
We didn't talk about him on the lizard episode.
No, we didn't. He lizarded us.
Damn it.
He got us. So the patches themselves, let's talk about those a little bit more so none of you accidentally sew some stuff on it. So a couple of things that you might see on a patch and some of the things that they call themselves, they'll call themselves the red and white. You might see a patch that says HA or 81 because of 8 is the letter in the alphabet for H and 1 is A, so they call themselves the 81. They always have the jackets, and supposedly they're usually leather and denim. But when I did some Google searches, man, I saw some jackets that were of questionable material and of unfortunate eras of time.
Like they're made out of skin?
Like you can see some really funky, weird 1970s, 1980s. Like that looked like a good idea at the time. A lot of suede as well. But so I'm sorry, and I misspoke. The Death's Head logo was designed by Frank Sadalek, and there's usually a patch that says HAMC, which is Hells Angels Motorcycle Club, etc. So what you see on the back, and this is what you need, this is what to look for. If you see what we call the top rocker, which is like that semicircle thing across the top, which is going to say Hells Angels. In the middle, you're going to see the Hells Angels logo, which is the skull with a motorcycle helmet with the big wings kicking off the back of it. That's a separate patch in the middle. And then the bottom patch is probably going to say California, or it's going to say
Wherever they're from. Yeah,
wherever they're from.
Whatever
state they're
from.
There's 250 chapters.
But yeah, I've seen I saw a lot of them when I was doing Google searches that just say California.
Yeah.
They're in 30 countries.
So they if you're in California, you might be able to get away with just putting California. I don't know.
Yeah, California is a big,
it's pretty dense.
I mean, a big
there's
state.
A lot of chapters.
So there's probably a lot of them. Yeah.
And from one other thing that I read about this gang or motorcycle club and other motorcycle clubs is that a lot of times if you see instead of a location, it says Nomad, then they don't actually represent a city.
They travel.
And it's a group that still has a charter. They're still a group of X number of people, but they don't claim a city. They travel and they end up not.
Yeah, so here's one that says Nomads NZ, which is probably New Zealand. So they probably travel the country.
Yeah.
So it'd probably say Nomads US.
Right. Or a state maybe or something. So if you decide on a lark to go to Pinterest and get a Hells Angel top rocker and put it on the back of your vest and get on your motorcycle,
bad
you're
idea.
Fixing to get your
it's
ass.
It's a bad
right.
Halloween costume.
Like it is
bad
not a good idea.
Yeah.
And then on the front of a Hells Angels person, you're going to see the little diamond with a 1%, which proves they're 1%ers. It's going to say Hells Angels. And then there might be an additional side rocker with a location. So if you're from, that's what it might be. If you're from California, I think you can get away with putting California on your bottom rocker, but then you have a side rocker on the front that would say Bakersfield or San Francisco.
Redwood Originals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you also, if you have a rank, because there are certain ranks, your rank insignia might be there. And I saw a lot of pictures of vests that also had a patch for every year they were in the club. So some of them have like a whole array of patches. So you'll see a lot of patches. And I just, because I did not know any of this stuff about it, but they take it very seriously.
Yeah.
And the patches never belong to the individual. They always belong to the club. Yeah.
So they sued Young Jeezy also, the rapper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he used something similar, his logo on some clothing that he had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they won.
Yeah.
Court of law.
They settled quietly with Disney too. Like, I don't know, there was public settlement.
So I just, if you take nothing else away from this, if you do happen to like riding motorcycles,
Disney, they're like, so what's going to happen here, Disney, is all of our chapters are going to come to Disneyland. Yeah. And they're like, whoa, well, hold on a second. How much? How much? What are you asking?
Yeah.
How much?
Yeah, I think they just like blurred them out because they were in there or something.
They probably just CGI'd them. They gave all the cops.
I'll just take your word for it. I'm not watching that movie.
I'm not either.
I'm not either.
I'm just thinking if they could give all the cops walkie talkies and ET, they can
cover up weird. That.
It's so fucking stupid. But so those are the patches. And then there was one other thing, if I can find it. So they might have an office of rank, president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and sergeant at arms. And they might have a patch that says AFFA, which means Angels Forever, Forever's Angels.
It is important. You said that they own the patches. If they leave the club, they take the patches. And if you have a tattoo, they take that
too. They take the tattoo.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
So you can either
it's their logo and they stick to it.
Right.
Disney can't use it. Right. Jeezy can't use it. You can't fucking keep it.
No, if you, and by the way, it's pretty unlikely that you would become a full patched member without having tattoos.
And or leave.
Yeah. Oh, and leave.
In but a even situation that they just take your tattoo.
If you did leave.
Well, I don't think it's like blood in, blood out, you know, like fucking I'm sure at a certain level maybe, but I know people have left. I mean, one of the, what's the guy's name we were just talking about? Friedley.
I watched an interview with one of the main guys. He was in for like 40 years. I was like, God, he is. Yeah,
Otto Friedley.
Oh, right.
He left. He found God and got married and all that stuff and found religion and left the Hell's Angels.
I noticed something. Are there black Hell's Angels?
Nope.
Was it in their bylaws somewhere?
There's a group called the Dragons that they're very close with, which is another sort of one percenter gang from what I read.
They're not really outspoken like racially though, right? It's just an unspoken thing sort of.
It's just there's
it's probably in their bylaws.
They just never got the invite. They're just like,
Send that invitation. Sonny Barger, the guy from San Francisco, right? In 2000, he remarked, if you're a motorcycle rider and you're white, you want to join the Hell's Angels. If you're black, you want to join the Dragons. That's how it is, whether anyone likes it or not. We don't have no blacks and they don't have no whites.
Well, the problem
but
is
they're really
too,
close with the Dragons.
This is the other thing too, though. Say you're black and you're a Hell's Angels member and you go to prison and all the Hell's Angels members are white.
That's true.
I just was going to say that. Like 85%.
You can't hang out with them.
It was like 85% of the membership were convicted felons or something at some point in time.
Yeah.
And so that's a huge, like I have a family member that went to jail and like, not a racist person, but you have to. You have to pick a side.
You're white, and you go with the whites.
Yeah,
you're
black. How that works?
You go with the black. Dave's fucked.
Yeah.
He just stands in the
middle. Well, and there was there was a guy who was black, but he looked white.
Right.
But he was black, and this isn't Dave. But he had. They wear a wristband where we're at and they have white. So like it would say a W or it'd have a B for black, M for Mexican. And he had a B on his wristband, but the blacks didn't want him and the whites didn't want him. Right. So there was a big conflict over this guy who just got intake into prison.
He looked like the Stay Puft Marshmallow
looked
man.
White, but he was half, you know, so he was mixed but he looked white, but he was black. Like, so like it was a weird thing. So, I got told by a guard that said there was issues, like they had fights and
right.
there was just a fucking ton of problems.
Now he's black and blue.
Yes. And white.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that creates an issue. You know, you're, I
can
guess
see where
that's
that
probably,
happen,
it
yeah.
makes sense. So it doesn't mean that they're racist. Like that actually solves problems in certain, you yeah. know,
when they do go to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. If not yeah. when.
And my assumption is also the same thing with if you were Hispanic.
Right.
Like I doubt if you're Mexican.
Yeah. You're going to the Mongols. No, Mexican, you're going to the Mongols.
You're going to the Mongols or the Bandidos or the Vagos.
Devil's Disciples.
I mean, there's a lot of them that are out there. And there's trust me, we named like five or six of them that are the big ones, but there are a lot of 1%er clubs that are out there. But again,
I'd hate to be the 8-person 1%er club.
Yeah.
You get in a fight with the other guys that have 2,500.
But again, if you look at like the Sturgis motorcycle rally and like hundreds of thousands of people show up on motorcycles and they're in clubs and they're wearing their, you know, their colors, like they're not all Hell's Angels. They're not yeah. all criminals. They're yeah. not all, they just live the
well,
biker
even,
lifestyle.
And the Hell's Angels will show up there. They're not yeah. fighting anybody
no, no,
there.
No. Like, and the Hell's, I mean, if there's like a ride for charity that some other yeah. group put on, the Hell's Angels will show up and yeah. go along with them. Like it's yeah. not, if you're not well, claiming, if you're not claiming some shit and you're another motorcycle club in their town, they probably don't care about you one way.
Well,
you're probably
that,
just another dude that's
that
riding
depends.
A bike.
So here, and this is what I'm told. I don't know, but there's, I'm not going to mention any clubs' names or anything, but there's certain clubs that cannot ride through town.
Hmm.
If they're caught riding through town, patched, they'll be dealt with.
Like you put that shit in your backpack too. Chris.
Well, they don't though. Like you'll
but
see
you
guys,
don't.
you'll see the crew riding through, and if you know, those guys aren't supposed to be riding through. Like it is literally territory.
Right. Is it another 1%er?
Well, another 1%er.
Right. Yeah. I'm just saying if you're not a 1%er group, they tend to not care as much.
Microphone. Well, yeah. And that's the thing. They don't have an issue with you. The other thing is too, if you're opening up a club, you know, if there's a chapter coming in and there's already Hell's Angels established, or other 1%er clubs, they'll have meetings. They'll
right.
have, you know, like there is no just, hey, we're going to start up a club here.
Right.
So like when we start our scooter club up, we'll have to have that meeting with
right.
them
right.
and say, look, this is ours now. You guys
right.
got to go.
Yeah.
That type of thing, you know, could be bad, but
yeah, I think we'll win out.
Yeah. Maybe.
My Honda Express goes like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
They're totally going to let me do it.
It's
yeah.
going to be a scooter though.
Yeah. It's a Honda Express. Yeah, Honda Express.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The old yellow ones with the banana seat. Yeah. yeah.
That's the one I got. Kind
of I got a Ruckus, idea. Which yeah. fits me well.
I wish you had a Ruckus. I want a Ruckus.
Those things are awesome.
Those are really cool. They're kind of expensive.
What if I have a riding mower?
That fits you.
Gotta have two wheels.
That's where the Mad Max thing
wheels.
Came in because I couldn't picture you on a scooter.
Yeah.
So that's why I was trying to get like a mini go kart. I didn't want to make you drive the yeah. Walmart cart that we.
But
modded.
See, you put him in a go kart though, and then he looks like Bowser. That's why he went the Mario Kart
yeah.
way.
I'm just trying to think of how I can make this work the best.
You got to grow the mohawk back out. That's how.
Yeah, I do got to grow yeah. the mohawk back out.
Bright orange.
Live dangerously, my friends.
What about a Segway?
No. Those are not scary. Those are not scary.
I'd be scary if I was on a Segway with two katanas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
See?
I don't know. I guess technically it's two wheels. It's two wheels. It's two wheels.
Until
you stab yourself.
I fucking impaled myself.
Until you fucking Vlad the Impaler on your katana.
Like orange Wesley Snipes on a fucking mall cop. Look, is that Wesley Snipes mall cop?
Why does Sinbad have katanas?
Yeah.
I said katanas. Why does Sinbad have katanas?
Did Sinbad just kill himself on yeah. a Segway?
They're all man. The Mandela effect is really shitty. That new blade sucks. He looks like a college professor with fucking katanas on a Segway.
with patches on the back yeah. of his Yoshi jacket.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Day Walker?
What the hell is going
He's
on?
Day here? Roller. He's a day roller.
Yeah.
All the vampires on Segway.
Or we could all just ride Rascals.
Ooh,
just be on Rascals.
I like the sounds of that.
Yeah. Because they wouldn't think it's unsuspecting, you know.
Right.
So like they think we're disabled,
right.
and then we jump off of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get to jump on people.
It's all based on how well you.
Plus,
turn.
And here's the yeah. other thing: like if the Hell's Angels like wanted to fuck up like the guy at the deli counter in Albertsons, they're not riding their motorcycles into Albertsons.
No, we roll
us
in.
On our Rascals.
We roll
we
in.
Fucking roll straight yeah. back to the deli counter.
Yeah. into the deli counter.
Like, we're on you before you even know it.
Yeah, it's too late. It's too late. And you think we're crippled? We got the jump.
Yeah, like it's too late.
And I'm not above kicking a side stack of Ritz crackers.
No,
I will knock that shit down.
Yeah.
I will rip the coupons off the chili packs.
King's Hawaiian rolls. I'll smash them. I'll go and I'll crush each roll. I'll put fingerprints in each roll.
I'll go get all the Hostess fruit pies, smash them up, and then reform them in pie shape.
Yeah,
I'll pull the bottom oranges. Avalanche and produce section.
We'll do that until they pay us protection money.
That's
how we start.
That's it. Yeah, sounds good to me.
So membership in for
we'll be the dirty rascals. That's what we
do. I'm gonna spray hairspray on the apples so that they're not shiny anymore.
Matte paint.
Your apples.
No matter how much you shine them, they'll never shine.
The stock boy's like, don't do it. And just polished all those. Don't do it. I'm like,
yep.
Give me your Lunchable.
So to join the Hells Angels, I was looking into the membership stuff. Did you guys see anything about the membership?
Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything about anything.
Okay.
Just being
first
honest.
Off, you have to have, like, once you're a full member, you end up with a different name that they end up using.
We have to start as a hangout or hang around.
Yeah, there's different, so first off, to even be considered, you have to, and I looked into this, you have to have a valid driver's license. Mm-hmm. Very important.
Well, yeah.
Motorcycle over 750 cc's, and you must have, according to their website, quote, the right combination of personal qualities, which I think is a
sounds
very
like Liam Neeson.
You're not allowed to be a child molester. That's a big
one. That actually is. Yeah. You can't be black and you can't be a child molester and you can't be ex law enforcement.
So you can't be a black child molester.
So they just pile those in the same boat, huh?
Are there black child molesters?
Sure.
Okay. I didn't.
Then you can't be a black police officer.
You can't. I'm sure you can't be a police officer.
No, you can't. You can't have been ex-law enforcement. So, yeah, they exclude child molesters and anyone. Actually, I take that back. It's not just that you are a police officer or a prison officer. They rule out people who ever even applied for the position.
Oh, wow.
So if you applied to work in a prison or if you applied to work there, supposedly they won't accept you. So they go through
background checks run deep.
Yeah, I guess so. You go through a lengthy process of phases, and in the first phase, you're called a hang around, which means that you get to hang around.
You got
to
be cool as fuck in the first place, though, because you don't just go hang around.
Right.
It's not like you can just show up and be like, hey, guys, what's up? I got a new motorcycle. Like, you have to probably know a dude that knew a dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, man, you want to come to the...
You have to get invited.
Yeah. You'll get invited to events that nobody else is going to get invited to. You're going to get to hang out.
And there's support, too. So, like, if your buddy's in it, you know, you can go hang out at the clubhouse. You know, like, there's people that hang around, but those guys that are actually hang arounds are actually trying to get patched in.
Yeah.
Right. So at that point you get moved up to, if you show interest, because a lot of people will be hang arounds and that's all they want. They just hang around and that's it. They go to the club, they kick it, they go on rides together. Yeah. They don't really want to get that involved. But if they show interest, you might be invited to become an associate, which lasts for a year or two, where you might start working some events at the club, or you might start doing different things for them, running errands, doing favors, you're becoming closer in. Then you become a prospect. And in Sons of Anarchy, that's kind of the beginning. See them as a prospect and nothing else. But
you do the grunt work. You do whatever they say. I literally watched an interview where the guy said they can spit on you or piss on you. It doesn't, I mean, they may or may not.
That's probably fuck your girlfriend.
They're going to do whatever they want. You're going to do whatever they say.
Right.
And that's just it. You do whatever grunt labor they need. I don't know if they're really pissed off, but that was on the interview.
One of the things is too, like if they're on a ride, say there's 10 of them riding wherever and the fucking cops try and pull them over because they're going 140. The prospect is the one who's going to hang back and leave the cops. Yeah. He's going to get a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He keeps donuts on his bike.
Yeah. That's right. The prospect is allowed to wear the bottom rocker with the territory name along with the little, because there's the three main patches on the back, but there's also the small triangular the diamond shaped MC patch is also on the back. So if you're a prospect, you get the MC and you get the bottom rocker that says the location, but you can't wear Hell's Angels. You can't wear the logo. You can't wear.
Did you say associate? Did you say that yet?
Because associate is under
that's before the prospect.
So at that point, if they've gone on long enough and someone is willing to like step up for them and say so, and there's an opening because there's only so many people in the club. So you could be a prospect for years and never get in if nobody quits, right. goes to jail or dies.
It's a long process. Just, like even if there's a spot, yeah, like a yeah. year minimum. Right.
So the last phase is full membership or full patch. And then you get the full four piece patch on the back. You become a full, Hell's Angel, the full everything. And that's when you're a full member and it must be, unanimously voted on by every single member of the chapter. Not one person can say no.
And they said you will literally lose your wife, your family, your job. They said if to the level of commitment that's necessary to be full patch, like if they call on you at 2 a.m. or they call on you and you're at your job at whatever, you're leaving.
Right.
You get up and you go right then. Like right. Your commitment. They said you'd die for a brother before you might die for a family member.
Right.
Like that's the level of commitment. It is the number one priority in your life at that point.
Well, most likely people aren't shooting at your family members, hopefully.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't. So. You're in a biker gang, they might be, or a biker club.
Well, yeah. I know, but you're more apt to die for one of your brothers. Yeah.
Choking.
Than your actual physical brother who's like an accountant in Phoenix or something.
That's an important note,
you're not
too.
Taking a bullet for him.
Apparently, if you're not in the club, you're not allowed to call them bro. Like if they go, hey, sorry, bro. You say, sorry, bro, they're going to be like, hey, you're not my brother.
Right.
So don't call me bro.
Right.
Like that's a fucking offensive term. Like,
right. Because it's a term they would use like internally.
Yeah, they call it brother.
It's so just that's a power thing, like, you know, to show who's in charge type of thing.
So I was looking, I was trying to find specific crimes, and I found one website that was just a bunch of wars, and it was like the 92 war in Ontario, and it was the Hells Angels versus this other group, and like, you know, 47 people died, and it lasted this many years, and it's like you can't really find many details, but there are... Like they'll go to war from time to time with other
bombings. Know. They get dudes that are like ex-military bomb experts and they teach everyone else how to do it. There was the one in the casino with the Mongols where they just showed up like 40 strong, started shit, and one dude kicked a Mongol and then they literally just opened fire in a casino and started shooting and stabbing. And they carry ball peen hammers because apparently that circumvents the law. There's no law about carrying a ball peen hammer specifically.
That's a hammer.
Like it's just a hammer with a little, and it's ball gnarly. Gnarly weapon, but it's not illegal to have that on your person. It's not considered a weapon.
But a claw hammer is.
I guess so. Yeah.
Right.
So they carry that as one of their weapons.
Well, and I'm pretty sure they're required to carry a knife at all times too. Yeah. Like something that's within the, you know, law, I guess. Whatever state you're in, but you're always legal. Required to carry a knife because you never know when somebody's going to come up on you.
And I was looking at how large they are. And there's, when I was looking at the chapters, there's 416 global chapters of the Hells Angels. And I think this was as of 2015.
Oh, damn,
so there's 7 million now.
Yeah, that's right. That's
well, like, it must be a lot because I watched a document that said like 250. So
But the thing is, though, I was looking because it actually showed the dates of when the chapters all formed. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, after Sons of Anarchy was on, there was a massive surge.
People want to be chapters. Yeah, people want to be the biker.
So, but what tripped me out is that there, from what I looked at, there were like just about 40 in the UK. There were 48 in the U.S., like full-on chapters. And in Germany, there were fucking 71.
Damn.
Like, so Germany. I mean,
what else is there to do in Germany?
Germany
to be a biker?
Is where it's at.
Yeah.
If you're a Hell's Angel, which I thought was kind of a trip. And I even read a thing, I guess, locally here. I guess in February of last year, there was a stabbing where allegedly two Hell's Angels allegedly followed and stabbed a Mongol and dragged him by a pickup or something, but they weren't charged and everything was.
I think they're innocent. Probably. Yeah, they're bad. They're badass enough. They could have done it, but I don't think they did.
Right. They were going to do it. He would have been dead.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. I agree 100%. But so one thing that I read, there was a multi-year turf war all across Scandinavia involving the Hells Angels in the 1990s, involved machine guns, rocket launchers, grenades.
Jesus.
Dozens of people died, but there was like the Scandinavian Hells Angels War, which is just bizarre to think about. But because it seems so quintessentially American.
Right.
Like when I picture a Hells Angel, when I picture the motorcycle club, like that's what I picture. The one that you mentioned, that big massive beef where all kinds of people got killed. There was one that happened recently, and I want to say it was at Sturgis, where there was a bunch of it wasn't just the Hells Angels, but there was that like security cam footage in a bar, and all these bikers started shooting at each other.
That was a casino,
but it was kind of outdoors.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of the other one.
Because one that I saw, it was an outdoor thing, and it was part of the Sturgis rally. That comes up.
That might be different.
But yeah, but they definitely come up. 2007, a woman was found severely beaten at the door of the headquarters of New York's East Village of the Hells Angels headquarters. There was a huge, heavily armed police raid in the building with helicopters, etc. But they couldn't find anything illegal in the house. No charges were, you know, and that's what I tend to find a lot. Like a lot of these things are like, someone will do something, they'll be pressing charges, nothing sticks.
Yeah, I even watched a thing where there was like the standoff because there were so many Hells Angels, something had happened in a hotel room, and the police used some of the Hells Angels to negotiate the entrance into the room, but they like snuck this guy out that had shot someone else in the hotel room. And then had two guys clean the room before they let the cops in. And they even cut the drywall out of the wall where the gunshots were and took it with them. And then they get, okay, everything's cool. You guys can go in now. And they let them go in after they cleared the room.
What the fuck?
It's like movie shit. It was impressive.
And here was a quote. You don't, I mean, as a police officer, you know who they are. You know what's going to happen. You know, like they assert their dominance in a territory.
Right.
And that's what it is. You know, like when the Hells Angels ride through town, like they don't fuck with them, you know, like they, it's just, that's just how it works.
And I read there was a police officer named Steve Ovick, and he was talking about, he was part of a SWAT team, and he was monitoring charity motorcycle rides that the Hells Angels were doing. Like his job was to follow it and make sure nothing,
the teddy bears and kilos.
Exactly.
Let's see what's going on here.
So, but they asked him, you know, about these very issues, like how come if it's illegal to wear this patch because it's a gang sign, no one ever gets arrested for wearing the patch, even though it's a gang sign. And his quote was, "You don't poke a hornet's nest with a stick, but you sure do like to know where the hornet's nest is at."
Right.
Yeah.
So better like, identify.
Let them ride their thing. Do whatever they're gonna fucking do. I mean, yeah, we could arrest them every single day.
I mean, think about it. If you had regular gangs wearing their fucking, oh, we're this gang, wearing it on a shirt, you know that these guys are all part of that gang,
right?
Not, and then they can't deny it later on after they do something bad, you know, that they get in trouble for. So, I mean, that makes sense. You know, if at all they're going to do something, they know where they're at. They know who they are.
Right.
They're marking themselves, you know.
And they don't hide it. It's like they'll fucking paint their logo on the side of the building or open a bar.
It says,
Or it's like, this is where
it's
we
like
are.
The Yakuza. The Yakuza has those buildings with official signs.
This is where we are. You want to come get us? This is where the fuck we are.
Well, they showed the current like leader just talking to law enforcement, like walking out and like putting his face in cameras and stuff. I think they're just really smart. I mean, the closest they got to doing anything, there was these two ATF agents that went undercover. And I mean, they had to go from the whole hang around to associate to prospect to the point that they were almost going to get patched in. And they have to do these crazy things. Like you said, he was drinking a 6-pack of Red Bulls and taking like a half a bottle of Hydroxycut every day because those dudes were like doing lines and riding. He said he'd have to like white knuckle these fucking rides because they're going 100 miles an hour on their Harley and on crank and stuff. And he's fucking taking Hydroxycut and drinking Red Bull, scared shitless, trying to fucking keep up with this crew. And then they told the other guy who was also an ATF agent, like, you need to go kill this Mongol. And they fucking staged it and pretended like he died so they could get him out because you can't go kill someone. But they said like, they'll put coke on the table and you have to do it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They're going to test you.
Yeah, they're going to put that stuff out in front of you, and you have to do it. And then finally, they told the other guy to kill someone, so they set up this elaborate thing. It was like it was very Breaking Bad. They got a Mongol's jacket out of like an evidence locker, put it on some Mexican dude, took a cow stomach and chopped it up and put it on the back of his head so it looked like Kennedy's back and to the left, like head wound. And then they had a picture of him like shot in a like a half buried ditch that he like FedExed back to them with the tore up jacket or something to say that he had done the hit.
Right.
And then he like fucking, he had been in that crew for like years, dude, building up all this evidence. And then most of it ended up falling through and he did it all for nothing. And then he's just fucking the rest of his life, like has to look over his shoulder. Because he was in with those guys, you know.
And I will say no names whatsoever. But I know of one of my friends' dads, where I grew up, is just super straight cut guy. Doesn't have a motorcycle. Never had, like, just like super super straight laced guy. Cop, etc. And like you look through his house, he's got all these awards of being a police officer, all this stuff. And like in the office, which like only he was allowed to go in, there was a picture of him in a Hell's Angels vest surrounded by Hell's Angels. And like you just, and like I asked his son about it a couple of times and he was like, oh, Dad doesn't really like to talk about that. And like a couple of times I asked him
and he went undercover
and he was like, I can't really talk about that. And I would prefer it if you never went into my office and you never asked me about that again.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's which A kind of makes me say, well, then take the fucking picture down.
Yeah.
Like A,
that's
like,
let's office. Start. Why let's were you in there? There? Little shit.
But I went back years later to my reunion and had a beer with him. And I asked him about the picture and he was like, yeah, he was like, I was undercover for about 7 years.
Like, now I have to kill you. I told him not to ask.
Yeah. And he was like,
now we know why Dave's in Bakersfield.
Right. It's like, one of the hardest things I ever did. And I will never talk about, you know, not just because it's classified or because it puts my family in danger, but I will never talk about anything that happened to me within those 7 years.
And on that note, can you pass me another mini sandwich?
It was like, holy shit.
So can you pass me the little smoky, please?
Yeah. So he was in it to win. It, but there was another guy that I read about, a guy named Dave Atwell, and he wrote a book called The Hard Way Out, My Life with the Hell's Angels and Why I Turned Against Him. And he's known as being the highest ranking member of the Hell's Angels who actually walked away. And he was the sergeant at arms for the Ontario Club. And one of his main jobs, he admitted to, was that he made sure that the cocaine got where it was going. Like if anyone had a cocaine shipment coming, he was the one that got the cocaine.
Allegedly.
There.
No, that's what he said.
Like he fucking says it in his book. Yeah. He got arrested in one of the drug deals, and he said that he very shortly realized while he was arrested that he had absolutely no support. Like no one in the club came to help. No one offered up any bail. No one was helping like his family on the outside. He was like, I was completely alone as soon as I got arrested. And he said that the Royal Canadian Police basically talked him into going back out on the street and ratting on him, which he did. And in the book, he said, because he describes his life and he says, quote, but after the patch over, after I became a Hell's Angel, he was talking about how much he loved his life, like as a hang around and, you know, just kicking it with them and whatever. But he said, after I became a Hell's Angel, that all changed. I had no career unless you count being a criminal. I had been behind bars. I disrupted the lives of everyone I cared about. And I had to break up with the woman I really loved because my being in the club had endangered her career. I had become a bum surrounded by bums. It wasn't fun. I wasn't rich. I had had enough. And he just like,
so how does he get away with that? I wonder why are they not
witness protection?
Oh,
like he doesn't go by the name Dave Atwell anymore. And he's on straight up witness protection from that day forth. So you know,
I heard that's what happened with Bruce Jenner.
Yeah. He's like Dave, his new name's Dave. Not so well now.
It was Atwell.
Yeah. Now it's not so well.
Or is it Moten?
Yeah. No. What are you talking about? Okay. Don't be retarded.
Battle Creek, Michigan.
Anyway, yeah, moving on.
So apparently they, see, and I think part of the reason A, there isn't one true leader that anyone knows of anyway. Every club has its own charter, its own set of bylaws. They adhere to the certain core principles, but they're all their own thing. So even if you picked, you know, in Phoenix, if you completely brought down the charter in Phoenix, you're not touching anybody else.
Right.
Like everybody else is completely insulated.
They're all separate. They do their own
thing. Franchise.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like, yeah. But it's like if that
was Subway.
If it was the mob, it's like that is a member of this family, and we can use RICO to track that all the way back up to the boss and start making big arrests. It's just harder to pull that off with the Hells Angels. I think that's one part of it. I think the other part of it is really kind of a counterculture, Robin Hood, America, rebel, freedom of the road. Like, we fucking love that shit.
Yeah.
Like, even though, like, a lot of motorcycle clubs are selling meth and, like, selling weapons and whatever, there's, like, something about it that is undeniably cool. Like, these people are riding their bikes. They have the ultimate freedom. They don't get fucked with. They have a brotherhood, you know, of other people.
No, did you watch Sons of Anarchy? And they're, like, doing crazy shit. And you're still like, oh, yeah, those are the good guys, right? Wait, they just fucking killed, like, some innocent guy that didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, because so, mom pointed a finger or something. Yeah.
And they give to, like, every chapter gives to charity and goes on charity rides and helps out with the American Red Cross. They all help with vets. Like, one of the big things that almost every charter does is they help with homeless vets, poor vets.
Well, I think one thing you have to remember is that they're not heartless.
No.
You know what I mean? They're people.
They're very patriotic too.
They tend to be involved in their own communities. Like, they want their community. Like, this is their chapter. This is their city. They want their city to excel. Right. So it's like, it's hard. You know, it's hard to be like, if you're in, you know, some shitty neighborhood and there's like some generic gang selling crack and everybody's getting shot up, you can kind of hate the fucking gang. But when they kind of have a Robin Hood thing going on and they like the city and they gave your kid a teddy bear at fucking Christmas, it's a little bit harder to hate on them.
Right.
Like, our culture does not hate Hell's Angels or Motorcycle Club.
Well, and one of the things they're not doing too, they don't just fucking come into your house and fuck with you.
No.
You see them at fucking Walmart. They're not fucking with you.
I think that's the big thing. Yeah, like, there'd be some regular gangs. Like, if you went to the wrong neighborhood, they're gonna fuck with you because you're like the white guy.
Some fucker in the mall, you know, that doesn't move out of your way, and you bump shoulders with them, and then all of a sudden they're trying to beat you up.
Yeah, the Hells Angels. Guys, unless you went to their club and like disrespected them for some reason.
Yeah, unless you did something that directly affects them.
And I would guess if you went to their club, someone's probably going to politely, before anything happens, come up and be like, you might not want to be here.
Yeah, I feel like that. I feel like,
I feel like you would just be kind of told, you should probably take off. You're not really welcome. It's members only. You know, I don't have a feeling that if you walked in there, you're just going to get
kill
your ass whooped.
Yeah.
You're going to get shot. But I've been in plenty of neighborhoods where I felt like if I walked into the wrong fucking bar, my ass would just get my ass whooped or get shot.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. It's an interesting thing. So every single law enforcement group talks about their alleged drug running, gun running, and prostitution. But at the same time, they do charity runs. They do all kinds of very strange, very mixed organizations.
It's weird how the societal view that you pointed out at the end, I wasn't really thinking of until you said that. That the view of it, though, is one of just more respect and maybe some slight fear of, like, you, but it's more out of respect, though. It's not like a traditional gang. You're not thinking like, oh, those guys are just going to fuck with me.
Right.
Yeah. If you see a Hell's Angel on the street or the road, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get shot right now.
No, they're not fucking with you. These are cool. Like,
you look at him, you're like, that's a bad motherfucker right there. But I'm not afraid because I haven't done anything. Like, trust me, if I fucking knew I did something.
Yeah, if you had your scooter club patch on with the California.
But like, if they just pull up next to me,
I keep my hands at 10 and 2.
Right.
I'd be like, you know, like, don't fucking change lanes or anything.
Yeah. Because I mean, I've run into, I'm not here in town, but I've run into Hell's Angels before and like given them a fucking wave and a whatever. And they'll just kind of wave back and fucking drive on about their business. Like, you're not part of their beef. You know, it's not. And again, when those wars break out, I'm sure it's a different story. If you live in a city where there's a fucking motorcycle,
I did watch things where they detonate bombs across some schools and shit. Yeah, they're blowing up shit across.
Obviously, it's gonna do a different thing. But yeah, maybe I'm just too pro Hell's Angels to get into it. But
well, yeah, you are. You're not gonna get in.
No, I'm never getting it.
You're a dragon. You got dragon written all over your dragon material.
They might not let me in on the dragons. I'm
probably not. Too white.
Too white.
Yeah.
You're black and blue. You got to start.
I got to join the Modesto The Modesto Mulattoes.
The Mulattoes. There you go.
We'll start up our own
Chama.
Club.
Yeah, that's Chama. Right.
Dangerous Mulattoes.
Just has a fucking cup of coffee on the back.
This is Hell's fucking Hell's Mulattoes.
The Frappes. That's our scooter gangs. The Mulattoes and the versus the Frappes.
It'll be Purgatory's Mulattoes.
Yeah. Keebler Mulattoes.
Not cool enough to represent
it. There's a cookie, the Mulattoes, too. Mulatto cookies. That's kind of. Oh.
Some people done time in Chino. You did time in Frappuccino.
I did time in Frappuccino, fool.
I can't think of other prisons. Yeah. San Quentin doesn't work. I don't know.
No.
I got nothing.
Pelican Bay.
All right. Are we done? Is it sponsor time?
Yeah, it is sponsor time.
All right. We need to thank El Yucateco Hot Sauce. That is our primary sponsor, and we love them. They love us. You love them. It's a cult of its own. Sometimes I wonder if our private group is a hot sauce fan group or if it's a Sofa King fan group, but I think they're one and the same, and we appreciate the love either way. If you haven't tried it, go find it. It's at grocery stores. It's on the internet. It's at Amazon, eBay. You can get it at mexgrocer.co.uk if you're outside the United States. We need to thank printdirtcheap.com for all of our stickers and printed goods.
Yes.
You can use code SOFAKING on printdirtcheap.com to save some money.
Thank
Indeed. You to DeLeon Graphics. I got it. I got it this time. You can find him on Facebook and Instagram. Follow
yes.
him. And he makes t-shirts, koozies, and other silkscreen goods.
Koozies. So
hit him up. Thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee mugs.
Mugs.
You can also find them on Instagram and Facebook, and they do make all kinds of crazy heat transfer stuff. So you can
transfers.
Get custom mugs made.
Stuff.
They make blankets, all kinds of weird things.
Smuggly.
Heat transfer. And then thank you to Camrio Jiu-Jitsu. Log on to armhunter.com.
Ass whooping.
Instructional videos and apparel. On that note, I have the flu, and I just remembered that we did not pull up any of our Patreon
people. I was
going
to say, I was trying to look, and the app sucks.
Yeah. We're going to have our Patreon people.
So we'll have extra secrets later.
Shit. Yeah.
I knew we were forgetting something.
Shit.
We said sorry in the beginning.
We did. First thing.
It's not like you're not going to get a shout out. It just didn't get a shout out on this.
We'll make it better.
First thing.
It'll be better.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Couple episodes from now.
Yeah, it'll be good next week.
Yeah, so you don't want to hear this week's
secrets.
If you want
to support us, yeah, I got
this
a Patreon.
This week's secrets has to do with my bathroom. You don't want to know.
Yeah, we already have enough shit stories from Dave.
Yeah.
So go to patreon.com /SofaKingPodcast to support us. And or not. Don't go there.
Go buy some merch.
Yeah, go buy merch.
I will say we have lots of items getting ready to go. We have 4 different whiskey glasses. We have decanters. We have slate coasters that are laser etched with our logo. We have 2 new t-shirts getting ready to come out. We have a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm trying to do it all at once. And Chris from DeLeon is in Canada right now. So we have to wait for him to get back from Syrup Town.
Yeah, he's buying maple syrup right now as we speak.
He has to squint his eyes. We actually we pulled his eyes back and we put super glue in the corners so that people wouldn't fuck with him as much.
Yeah.
So he'll be back and then we'll make shirts.
So with all that being said, don't be a retard.
Bitch, you thirsty, please grab Sprite. My crib's lurking, don't die tonight. I just wanna dance with you, baby. Just don't move too fast, I'm too crazy. Man down the avenue, get shady. Take a nigga mind off that. We can dip, fuck in the whip, slide right back in the function. One wrong word, start busting. Put that on my Yankee hat. I'm a gangster crib, fuck gangster rap. Where the ladies at? Where the hoes? Where the bitches? Every real nigga know the difference. Bandana brown like a dope daddy shooting in the kitchen room. Northside nigga never went to pilot. What's nigga Brio? Cocaine color of a Creole. T scrap moving for the D-Lo, we know.
I ain't never ran from nothing but the police. I ain't never ran from nothing but the police. I ain't never ran from nothing but the police. From the city where the skinny kept strong heat, Northside Long Beach.
Northside Long Beach, hit the counter, make a dollar, flip it. Split the dollars with my mama children. Folks need Porsches, hoes need abortions. I just need your light of my business. Never no problem playing no bitches. Never no problem spraying no witnesses. No face, no case, been with the shit. Hopped out broad day, didn't empty clips. Cut glass, cause it wasn't about cash. School wasn't no fun. Couldn't bring my gun. No change gon' come like Obama say. But they shootin' every day around my mom and them way. So he put an AK with Keanu and them stay. And that's for any nigga say he got a problem with me. How I'm crippin' while I'm livin', come and follow me. Pistol poppin' Poppy Street.
I ain't never ran from nothing but the police. I ain't never ran from nothing but the police. I ain't never ran from nothing but the police. From the city where the skinny kept strong heat, Northside Long Beach.
Northside Long Beach. Nate York still here cause the niggas like me. Police still scared cause the niggas like me. In the hood like a dollar sweet tea or a Louis burger. You ain't with the business, nigga. Who you murder? You ain't heard a call. Chain best stack smoking out the city. Riding around with the same shotgun and shot Ricky. Little nigga should have zigzagged. Didn't got his back wet. Now he running Northside. Niggas better fact check. Front with the gun talk. I ain't heard a clap yet. All my niggas front street. They the nigga best yet. Set for little halftime. Brody banged five blocks. So I hit you on me five times. Better grab y'all. Did it. Got away with it out the Civic. We crippin' Long Beach City, pay a visit. Park Ramon, the pop black, the cone, and give a hell till it's frozen over. I ain't never ran from nothing.
I ain't never ran from nothing but the police. I ain't never ran from nothing but the police. I ain't never ran from nothing but the police. From the city where the skinny kept strong heat, Northside Long Beach.
Northside Long Beach.